Good morning, everyone. Just think, another year is almost over, and Christmas is right around the corner. Has God been good to you? Yes?
Yes.
I'm glad. You know, sometimes when things, it's easy for us to be complacent and to take God or Jesus for granted, and easy to forget about God. And that's why Jesus sometimes give us warning about not being complacent. And so today I'd like to share with you from the book of, from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 7. If you have your Bible or your cell phone, find Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, chapter 7. And these are the words of Jesus. And he said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" I'm sorry. I should start earlier. In verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father." And then, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did you not prophesy? Did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Does Jesus really know you? Wouldn't you think he knows you? Yes, he does know you, because he created you. And he knows what you are made of. He knows everyone who ever lived. So what did Jesus mean when he said to some, "I never knew you"? So if we again look at verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who say to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." There are many so-called Christians who claim Jesus is their Lord and Savior, but their lives do not reflect that they have paid any attention to Jesus. Some just think because they come to church, they are believers. Some just say they believe Jesus, but have no commitment or attachment with him in their daily living. And these only give lip service with no reality or commitment behind what they're saying. These people will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. What, by the way, is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? Is it a physical place? It could be. But more than that, this is where God is. God is in heaven. And in heaven, that's the place where there is no evil and no sadness or sorrow. God wants everyone to go to heaven, to be with him forever. There are many benefits in being a believer in this on this earth, but even more, the greatest joy is that we can be in heaven with God. So who can enter heaven where God is? Jesus says, only he who does the will of the Heavenly Father. Doing the will of God does not mean only doing the minimum of what is required of us, but to willingly and gladly do what pleases him. And there's a difference between obeying reluctantly and eagerly fulfilling God's wishes. For example, in your relationship with your parents, if you do things after he or she asks you three times, maybe is acceptable in your home. But if you obey him the first, obey your parents the first time, or even when you obey or do things without their even asking you, you are on a different level of relationship with them. And they would want to do things really, you know, to please you and to make you happy. So try it someday. Then Jesus continued to say something shocking in verses 23 and 24. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It would be terrible to hear Jesus say to you or to me, I never knew you. Many will say on that day refers to judgment, the day when we come face to face with Jesus to give account of what we have done with our lives on earth. It doesn't matter if you are a Buddhist, a Muslim, or even an atheist. According to what the Bible says, every one of us will come face to face with Jesus at the end. Many may say that they have done good in prophesying, that is, in sharing God's message, that they have driven out demons, bringing healing to people, and even perform miracles. Yet Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Sharing Jesus is good, no matter who does it. Of course, it is better if a good person shares it, but the most important thing is that Jesus is shared. And this is what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, 15 to 18. He says, it is true, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter did so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or truth, Christ is shared, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. So you see, it doesn't matter who does it, as long as Jesus is made known. The main emphasis is on the message, not on the messenger. Evil spirits or demons are real. In parts of the world where demons or idols are worshipped, like in Laos and Thailand, where we had served, the powers of darkness appear to be strong. In parts of Latin America, some people worship the demon called San Muerte, or Saint Death in English. Because life is so hard and difficult, people wish that they could be granted a good and quick death. While serving in Argentina, I've witnessed the casting out of demons from some tortured soul. It wasn't a pretty sight. Their faces become contorted into ugly masks before these spirits were cast out of them. Even in our parts of the world, there are people dabbling in the occults, into drugs, and things that alter the mind. And these people become vulnerable to evil influences. They may and take drugs or meddle in the occult or worship idols. You don't have to be afraid of demons or spirits. They may appear to be strong, but they are actually weak because Jesus has defeated them on the cross. Jesus has broken the power of Satan when he rose from the dead. So these people seem to be doing good works, even seem to be doing spiritual religious works. Yet Jesus said to them he never knew them. Isn't it kind of strange, kind of unexpected and shocking? Why did Jesus say he never knew them? How about us, who come to church and on a regular basis, that attend Sunday school and other activities? Should we be uneasy that Jesus might say to us that he never knew us? Should we be concerned? I think we should be. In the passage in Matthew chapter 7, why did the people plead to Jesus saying, "Lord, Lord"? Why? Because they want to get into the heaven of kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, where God is. And this is the whole point of salvation. The main purpose of Jesus coming to earth was to rescue us from the domain of darkness into the heaven of God. Heaven. And heaven is where we can enjoy the fullness of God. And that is where Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be in the joyful presence of our Heavenly Father. These people who cried out, "Lord, Lord," try to highlight or emphasize what they presume would get them into heaven. So they say, "Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we witness for you? Didn't we help heal those who are spiritually sick? Didn't we do a lot of good works?" What they did are good works. Good works are good, but it doesn't get us into heaven. So what does get us into heaven? What does Jesus or God seek from us? God, through Jesus, wants to have a relationship with you and me. Jesus wants us to know him, to really know him. Not just know about him. Many people know about Jesus, but not many really know him. You can know about Jesus by reading books and by even reading the Bible about him. But to really know God or Jesus, you have to go beyond reading about him. You have to seek after him. You have to want him in your life. God says in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, he says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Jesus is a real person. He is not just a figure in history. You cannot have a relationship with a dead historical figure, but you can have a vital relationship with Jesus because he's alive and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is a person who has personality and feelings, just like you and me. Because we are created in God's image, we can relate to him. Unlike us, he is holy, righteous, compassionate, and gracious. Most of all, God is love. And patiently, he has been reaching out to us humans since he has created us. Just as God used to fellowship with Adam while strolling in the Garden of Eden, he wants to have the same kind of relationship with you and me, where he can enjoy us as we enjoy his presence. Leonardo da Vinci, the great artist who painted the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican with a famous picture of God reaching out to Adam. And this is how God has been reaching out to you and me. The Bible, the love of God, is the whole history of God reaching out to humanity, to you and me, to restore the relationship that was broken when Adam sinned. First, God used prophets to reach mankind. Finally, he sent his only begotten Son to connect with us. Think about the people in this passage who said, "Lord, Lord." They want to get into the kingdom of heaven. They want to earn their way by doing good. Doing good works is good, but it does not get us into heaven. And this is not what Jesus wants from us. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to know him and to enjoy his company. At the same time, he wants to enjoy our company. And God has reached out to you and me. And it is up to us to respond to him in order to form a relationship with him. And it takes two to relate. And it is relationship with God that gets us into heaven, not what we can do. Let's consider you and me. Where are we with Jesus? You may have received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and I hope you have. Since receiving Jesus, has he been part of your life? Have you been seeking his company? Do you look forward to be with him and to commune with him? Do you know Jesus or just know about him? To have a close relationship with someone, there has to be trust. Trust is the essential ingredient in a relationship that is meaningful. Without trust, there's no real relationship. God has done his best to persuade and to convince us that we can trust him. He has given us examples after examples in the Bible that he is faithful and trustworthy. The rest is up to us. Do we really trust God? Trust is not the absence of doubt or uncertainty. It is what we determine to do. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. When they refused to bow down to the golden idol, they were threatened to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And this is what the three young Jewish men replied to the king. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. God was pleased with them and delivered them miraculously. God is pleased with us when we trust and believe in him and his word. I'd like to share with you from my own experience about trust. When I turned 50, that was a long time ago, I decided to take up skydiving. Nowadays, you know, when you go skydiving, they connect you with an experienced diver just in case something happens to you. But when I took up skydiving, you had to go out by yourself. Well, you know, before the jump, there was some training. They say, well, when you jump out of the airplane, you should stretch out your arm and act and kind of arch your back so that you're like a wing foil, you know, and you can then, you know, really fly like a bird and enjoy the scenery. Ha! That didn't happen to me. there was some doubt in my mind, like, the person who packed my parachute, was he sober? Did he do a good job? And what happens if I jump out and I get tangled? Or the chute doesn't open? What do I do? You know, so there were things like that going through my mind, you know, and when I actually jumped, I didn't fly like a bird. I went straight down like a coffin nail. You know, I didn't trust what they taught me. So when I jumped out, instead of stretching out my arm, I had my arm forward like I was falling. What I felt like, you know, jump out the plane, I was falling down. And that's why I was going down like a rock. And so it was really scary. And it was a good thing the parachute opened. But in subsequent jumps, I was able to relax a little bit and trust what I was doing. So finally, I was able to jump from 10,000 feet by myself and to pull the cord myself as well. And after I pulled the cord, I was able to do somersaults and turn around and spin and all that. And then soar like an eagle. Maybe soar more like a vulture, I don't know, but I enjoyed myself. Well, trusting God is much better than trusting in a parachute. And in my experience as a missionary, I find that God has proven himself to be wholly true and trustworthy. For 21 years, Elaine and I were never lacking in funds for living and doing ministry, except for a small portion supplied by some churches. The majority of our funds were from individuals who did not promise that they would support us, but they did. But not only that, God enabled us to help establish 5 house churches in China and enabled us to help rebirth the only Chinese church in the nation of Laos, which was closed by the communists when they came into power in 1975. So in 2009, the Chinese church was reestablished supposedly with my help. And, you know, in fact, the pastor of the church claimed I was instrumental in causing that church to be reestablished. When I look at myself and to know the limited ability that I have and the puny effort that I put in, I know that what was done was not done by me, but by God alone. I just happened to be there. God is trustworthy, and I rejoice in his faithfulness. And knowing Jesus has been a real relationship with him, that has been the anchor of my life. Even though I was already a Christian, it took some hard knocks and the disciplines of life before I sought Jesus, not only as my Savior, but also as my intimate companion. I confess I am weak, and there's a tendency in me to wander away from the Lord. I have to constantly seek after him. Oh, I would become cold and insensitive to the things of God. I don't want to hear the Lord say to me, "I never knew you." I want to hear Jesus say to me on that day, "Dan, welcome to my heaven." That would be the greatest joy of my life. Is Jesus in your life? Do you seek his company? Do you look forward to spending time with him? More important, does Jesus know you? It would be terrible if he say to you or to me, "I never knew you." So what must you do to make sure that it won't happen to you? That Jesus would say, "I never knew you." We need to get to know Jesus. Not just read about him, but actually seek to get in touch with him. And we do that by speaking to him, not only by words, but also by opening up our mind, soul, and spirit to him. And we need to communicate our fears, hopes, and dreams to him. And as we get more into Jesus, and that is, the more we remain in him, the closer will be our relationship with him. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John 15, he says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. And he also said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted you. Can you imagine that? If we trust Jesus wholly to keep his word and remain in him, he will trust us enough to give us whatever we wish. Can you imagine that? You know, if we keep being with Jesus and keep his word in our hearts, we would not be asking for the wrong things. So don't be complacent. Don't take God for granted. Keep getting to know Jesus more and more. Keep getting closer to him. Keep hiding his word in your heart. And you will have no fear of his saying to you, I never knew you. He will gladly welcome you into his kingdom. Was Jesus too harsh to call those people evildoers who didn't really have relationship with him? No. God has tried all his best to reveal himself to them, first through the prophets and then through his son, and still they would not come close to Jesus. So that's not being hard to them. So brothers in Jesus, let us really get to know Jesus, to know God, so that he really knows us.